Please turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 15:1. We're going to be doing a topical study, so we're going to be covering various different scriptures, but that's the first one that we're going to cover. Last 4 weeks, we've done the importance of Israel and Bible prophecy as a topical study. And this week, I felt led to deal with something that is increasingly in the Christian hype news, and is also getting into the secular news. And it has to do with all this hype about September 2015. There's a lot of people that are advertising that next month, so here we are a month away, from these events that people are tying to certainly something bad is going to happen because of, I'm going to go over seven things tonight, Lord willing, if we get through all of them, and I've given you a handout there in case we don't. But there's an article that came out August 7th and from endoftheamericandream.com that says, what is going to happen in September 2015? Why are so many people storing food and supplies? This isn't in your handout, but it's a lead-in to it. Why are so many people storing food and supplies? And he says, the author of this article says the same thing I'm saying. Have you noticed that there is a tremendous amount of internet buzz about the month of September 2015? Never before have I seen so much speculation about what would happen in any particular month. And we're going to go over some of the reasons for that. And for anybody that checks alternate news and doesn't just listen to CBS, ABC, NBC, there's so much stuff going on out there. Some of it's crazy. And I was talking to somebody earlier that it's so hard to discern what the truth is. I'm saying, Lord, okay, so all this stuff is going on. And what am I supposed to think? And what am I supposed to share with you to prepare, equip, whatever, you for what people are saying? And some of it's, they're saying is based on spiritual prophecies that have great insights that are given to certain people. So we're going to try and digest this in a quick way. But here are the large internet buzz items. September 13th is the last day of the Jewish month of Elul, the biblical calendar. And it has, so, you know, there's the biblical calendar ends September 13th for the Jews. And then the Tishri, the first month, starts, and that's the Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, which would be a nice day for the rapture. September 14th this year would be a nice day for the rapture. I look every year at trumpets, I think it'd be nice, and every year it goes by and have to wait for next year. But see, what we are in this year is, according to a rabbi, Jonathan Kahn, who is a New York Times bestseller with the Harbinger book, he's written the Shemitah book, he's now burning up the internet with little YouTube clips, the mystery of the cows, the mystery of the trees, all this other stuff, and he is now, he's making all the Christian TV sit-down talk show racket. He's invited to all of them. He's been discipling millions of people into being really, and he would deny this, I'm not saying I'm a prophet, but everything he says is leaves you with, oh, he's a prophet, and he's telling me these great things. And so he's written a book about the Shemitah, and we're going to talk about that. So, you know, there's going to be a market collapse because the Shemitah that happens once every 7 years, and we'll talk, there's been market collapses. So there's going to be a market collapse because we're not obeying the Shemitah. September 15th, a couple days later, is the 70th session of the UN General Assembly. And that's when it is believed that people are making motions that the General Assembly is going to vote for making a Palestinian state. The United Nations General Assembly is going to make a Palestinian state and recognize them as a state, and then that's going to cause all the upheaval associated with that being a move against Israel. And September 25th to the 27th, the United Nations is going to launch a brand new sustainable development agenda called Agenda 21. And again, your notes are going to get into the specifics of this. So that's another thing. So there's another thing. The United Nations is having an Agenda 21. We'll talk about that. And September 28th is the last of the four blood moons. And Mark Biltz down in Tacoma and John Hagee down in Texas have both written books about how the tetrad of these lunar and solar eclipses happening on sequential Jewish feasts this year are all omens of judgment coming from God, and how the last one is at September 28, which is the Feast of Tabernacles this year. And so those are the different things that people are talking about. And I'm going to then, let's look at the other related issues. Economic collapse is really, to me, the biggest thing everybody's talking about. And it's related to Jonathan Cahn's Shemitah. He wrote this book, and he says that there's the law of the Shemitah. And let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1. I'm a little out of order in the notes here, but let's turn to Deuteronomy 15, 1. And it says, at the end, this is what God's law says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release. And the Hebrew for release is Shemitah. So that's where he gets it from. Grant a release of debts. And this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner you may require it of it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother. So here's what he's saying, is that that's a law. That's a universal law, applies to everybody. Actually, this was a law given by God to the Jews. How many of you ever heard of Shemitah? How many of you ever heard in all your growing up and all your education? Every 7 years, the bank is supposed to let you completely get rid of all your debts. You ever hear from that? Never in the history of the world. How about in Spain and China and Russia and Brazil and all these places all over the world? When have you ever heard that? Never, ever. It's only when the Jews are doing what God has said to do, because God didn't want people ripping each other off. And not only that, the law says that you're not supposed to charge any interest. Jew to Jew is not supposed to charge any interest. And to my knowledge, Jonathan Cahn has never made a big deal about how we charge interest with each other. And so he's saying, because, and you're also supposed to let the land go fallow every 7 years, and we haven't been letting the land go fallow. And so, even though this is a lot of the Jews, Jonathan Cahn is a prophet, and really a lot of his writings in the Harbinger and Shemitah and everything basically makes it like now we're the new Jews. And because we haven't been doing this law that really the nation hasn't been aware of, because of that, the judgment of God is coming on us. And then he makes examples of, well, look at the stock market crash on this year and this year and this year, and those were all Shemitah years, and look at all these things that have happened. And Dr. David James, who has written a book published by the Berean Call Ministry, you can listen to, has pointed out that in his Shemitah book, there's not any documentation of the facts surrounding these supposed worst ever collapses of the market. And he has a financial consultant to his book, to Dr. David James' book, refuting the Shemitah, that says this guy is absolutely off on the facts of the actual collapses and the collapse dates and all this stuff. It's all hocus pocus. But he's coming out and saying this, and he just made another YouTube video that I watched today that somebody sent me, said, Kevin, you got to watch this, that has him on there just once again saying that something's happening and you've got to be watchful for it. Now, do I believe that something bad could happen? Of course, something bad can happen. In fact, it's already happening. There's food riots in Venezuela. In fact, if you want to go home, type in, go to YouTube, food riots. Or just in Google, go to food riots and watch all these ladies fighting, screaming as little packets of powdered milk are being thrown out to the crowd in Venezuela. Go click on the other YouTube clips of just Googling Venezuela food riots and see these people that are Venezuelans living in America shipping toilet paper, sugar, flour to their friends in Venezuela so that they don't have to be trampled in the distribution of food. The Venezuelans are starving. there's already been a collapse of their economy. Why? Because it was a socialist indebted economy. Some people speculated, you know, when Venezuela started bucking the New World Order Western banker system and tried to go with China and Russia, that they got taught a lesson, their credit dried up, and everything is disintegrated in their country. And they're now to the point of people being hungry on a massive scale in Venezuela, happening today. And this is what on your notes after, and turn to Matthew 6:19, that's the next thing that we're going to do. I'm going to just say, before we read this actual Kahn quote or this article talking about Kahn, I read the whole Old Testament, and you're going to find out that the judgment of God fell upon Israel many times. And we just recently went through Judges on Sunday. How many times in all the judgments of the Jews in the book of Judges, how many times was it because you're not doing Shemitah? Not a single time. How many times in Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel is the judgment of God falling upon the nation of Israel because they didn't do Shemitah? Never. But Jonathan Kahn is saying it's going to happen to us, a non-Jewish nation, because we're not obeying Shemitah. And I would say the judgment, it is mentioned in the Word of God that because you didn't let the land go fallow for 490 years worth of Shemitah, of 7 years, I'm going to keep you in Babylon for 70 years. But that's just God knowing that the land needed rest. He didn't judge them for that. He judged them because they worshiped the idols of Babylon. He judged them because they were doing prostitution and they were, all these other things that they were doing in immorality and doing the things of the nations around them. Yes, he let the land stay fallow for 70 years and said, you can't go back for 70 years. So that did come into the judgment. But it wasn't because of that that he caused their economy to collapse. It was because of all the other immorality. Now, is that to say that America couldn't be judged economically? No, but we'll be judged for all the same reasons the Jews were judged. We have embraced, for the first time in the history of the world, we've embraced same-sex marriage, which is sticking a thumb and, sticking a finger in God's eyes, along with all of our worship of idols and our every immorality, all the stuff that's happening with Planned Parenthood over abortion and Jesus seeing all the millions and millions of babies worldwide being killed and murdered and et cetera, et cetera. All that stuff is what's really big in the Bible about bringing judgment, not because the debts weren't released every 7 years. But this is what he says. Kahn, has repeatedly said it's possible absolutely nothing could happen on or near September 13. And why would he say that? Because if it doesn't, you need to be able to write another book about why it didn't happen. You can't. He'll sit there, he'll say these things, and then he'll say, but, and he did this in the video I watched today, but it doesn't have to happen. Either you're going to tell me it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. I mean, if prophets of God didn't say, you know what, Babylon's going to come, maybe. If they don't come, then it's still okay. It's like, if you're going to be a prophet, be a prophet. If you're not, then don't pretend to be. It's possible absolutely nothing could happen on or near September 13th because God can't be put in a box or in a book about what he's going to do. But eventually, whether it's in 2015, 16, or beyond, judgment will come. Okay, that's easy. How easy is that? I don't have to buy his book to know that because I've read Revelation. Judgment's coming to the world. Jesus said it's coming. There's a great apostasy coming. There's going to be a time of Jacob's troubles that comes upon this world where hardly anybody's going to survive. But he says it's going to come, and he's right about that. Other warning signs appear in heaven with the 4 lunar eclipses and 2 solar eclipses over a span of 17 months. Those are the tetrads that we talked about. In accordance with the biblical feast days of Passover and Tabernacles, the first solar eclipse was on March 20th, the exact center point of the Shemitah year, which it has to be because that's when the mid-feasts are that it's happening on. And the second will be on Elul 29 or September 13th. Now, again, we've talked about the blood moons and stuff. And when this first came out, it was actually Mark Biltz down in Tacoma that first came up with this. And when he first came up with it, he was equating the solar eclipse, and I've taught this before, but just for the sake of continuity with this study, he said 7 years ago, he said this next month, this eclipse That's the fulfillment of the day that Jesus returns to earth. Because when the sun is darkened and the moon turned to blood and the great and terrible, the day of the Lord comes. So a little over 7 years ago, he was saying that means the rapture soon, because 7 years from now, this is going to be the second coming of Christ. Well, here we are just a month away from what was supposed to be the second coming of Christ. And these guys are still trying to make a big deal about these eclipses having something to do with biblical prophecy fulfillment, which they don't, as we covered in our Revelation study, because the Revelation study doesn't talk about a few-minute solar eclipse or a few-minute lunar eclipse that happens in one place of the earth whenever they are happening, when what is said in Revelation and in Joel and in Matthew is that this is going to be a global event that happens to the sun and to the moon. It's not a simple eclipse. But these guys keep on pushing the fact that these eclipses are coming. And Khan just released a new video that I watched this morning that gives further warning to stock up on supplies. And I'll agree with him on this, too. I do think collapse is coming. I think in light of earthquakes and everything else that can come, there's nothing wrong with having some food and water stored away ready to go. And the Venezuelans would have been wise to have seen the collapse of their economy coming and not having to be now in riots of people that are scampering. I mean, you should see, this is unprofessional video being shot, and women are just screaming and clamoring over each other as these bags are coming, and it's just horrible to watch in thinking about what they're going through. So you can go, again, get the book by Dr. David James from the Brain Call and read about the Harbinger, his rebuttal to the Harbinger. And that's another book Khan has written, is The Harbinger, where he said that Isaiah 9 was prophesying the 9/11 attack against America. And again, because the same judgment that had to come upon Israel that's stipulated in Isaiah 9 has to happen to us, because George Washington dedicated this country to God. And as soon as he did that, we became Israel in every way related to prophecy. And therefore, because he dedicated it to God, which the truth of the matter is, George Washington dedicated this country to the Masonic God, because it was a Masonic ceremony headed by a Masonic priest from the nearby Masonic temple. And that's why Washington, D.C. is laid out in Masonic layout. The whole D.C. area is laid out Masonically. So it's tragic that that is our history. And the Masonic God is the devil, because the Mason, the Masonic Lodge is the servant of the devil, but along with all the cults for that matter. But when he dedicated it, according to Khan, he dedicated it to God. And so because we've turned away, God lays harbingers. And the word harbinger means warnings. It's like bow shots. And God's been giving us bow shots, 9/11, then the stock market collapse, then this, then this. And if we don't repent from these things, then the final harbinger of real judgment will come, as it did to the Jews when they were carried away captive. And so because Isaiah 9 is warning about the Assyrians coming, the Muslims, well, actually, the Assyrians were before Muslims, but that whole area of the world. See, that's why it had to be the Arab Muslims that came to do the 9/11 attack, because that's the harbinger. Is the Middle Easterners come for judgment to Israel, Middle Easterners come to judgment for America, which he ignores the overwhelming evidence that supports the fact that 9/11 was an inside job that has been blamed on that. And I just, in saying that, probably lost a bunch of you, but I've looked at the evidence, and I wouldn't say that flippantly. The evidence is overwhelming. And for those that want to debate it, just go study Building 7, and then you'll see Building 7 going down is only explained by the fact that explosives were put inside of the building before 9/11. There is no other explanation. It's a third building that went down that day, and it could not have fallen except by explosives that were placed in the building beforehand. So it was an inside job. Anyway, so my conclusion, that the Bible has extensive prophecies about the last days. None of those prophecies have anything to do with normal lunar or solar eclipses. Nothing to do, so we shouldn't really be too bothered by any of that. Khan cannot document any real correlation between us America and Israel. It's about how we have now taken the role as being God's judgment piece for violating Jewish law. Deuteronomy 28 would be a better book to read, and it's free. And it talks about how when a people, and it's not just Israel, because Deuteronomy 28 is really God telling the Jews, if you do what the nations before you did, then I'm going to judge you like I judge them. And what are the Deuteronomy 28 judgments? Drought, armies turning, your army running, you know, going into battle one way, fleeing a bunch of ways, all the nations of the world being against you, the nations not being one now being your enemy, that you're going to become an indebted nation. God said, you will become an indebted nation. It even says that the alien will rise higher and higher, and you, the natural residents of the land of Israel, will become lower and lower, and the alien will actually take over you. Now, is that happening? Are those things happening in America? Absolutely. And people can say, well, it's because the Democrats have opened the border. No, I think God is allowing this delusion and this spirit of craziness to happen in this country, and aliens rising higher and higher and higher. We're going lower and lower and lower, and to the point, and we're the most indebted nation on the face of the planet in the history of the planet. And we should be Venezuela. We should be Greece. We're more in debt than Greece. The only difference is we have a printing press, and the Chinese are trying to take that away from us. And if they succeed, which, by the way, they're planning on doing next month through the end of the year. So the Chinese have an alternative to our financial system that they are working behind the scenes to set up so people don't have to trade between each other and buying oil in dollars. And if they succeed in that endeavor, then we are going to be like Greece. And that's why some people are very concerned that war would break out before it actually happens. And it talks about drought and economic collapse in Deuteronomy 28. And so Jesus says that we won't know the day or the hour. And here's my biggest concern about Jonathan Cahn and all the millions of people he's affected. And it's twofold. Let's say something does happen on September 23rd. September 28th. And then what's going to happen? What's the whole world going to do? Khan's not going to just be on all the morning talk shows with the religious channels. He's going to be on NBC, ABC, CBS. And people are going to say, wow, we should have listened to Khan. We should have read his book. And I'm telling you, I couldn't get 20 minutes into his hour, The Mystery of the Trees, because of all the complete twisting of the Word of God to make it say things it does not say. And all of a sudden, he'll become a source. So instead of the Bible has given us everything we need from real prophets, real people, and people are getting away from this, reading books, and if it all happens, then people will just, okay, Jonathan Cahn, what next? Taking a verse, the one about the mystery of the trees, which a good friend of mine, pretty biblically savvy, he has changed his entire plan for a movie ministry because of Jonathan Cahn and his message, Mystery of the Trees. And that's why he wanted me to watch it. And I watched it, and I'm just going to say that I'm shocked that somebody with biblical knowledge would listen to this and not see the problems that are... It's very close. It's like, man... Yes, you can agree, but accept the twist that you put on it and all the symbology and stuff that a guy reading his Bible from now till Jesus comes back, if it was 1,000 years from now, would never get out of the Mystery of the Trees. And it's based on a couple verses in the Old Testament that says when you plant a fruit tree, you don't take the fruit of it for the first 3 years. The fourth year, you take the fruit, but you dedicate it to the Lord. You give it to the priest at the temple. It's holiness to the Lord. You don't take it for yourself. After that, you take it to yourself. And from that, you know, that fits into the life of Jesus. The first three years, it means 10 years. First year of the tree is the first 10 years of Jesus' life. Second year of the tree is the second 10 years of Jesus' life. Third year of the tree is the third year of Jesus' life. And so, which ends in 30. And so the fourth year is when he's holiness to the Lord. Well, that's only for 3 years instead of 10 years. But he ignores all that. It's periods of time and just goes in. You would never, ever correlate a simple law about the fruit tree to the life of Jesus or the history of the world or the history of the Jewish nation and all this other stuff that he twists. So you have to go to him for the source. And he twists the scripture. So that's one bad thing. The other bad thing is if it doesn't happen. Let's say September turns into October, November, December, January, February, and the world starts, you know, they've been watching these channels when they channel check, and they go, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then what do they decide on October, November, December? We're all a bunch of crazies. And we say that the Bible says this, and the blood moons, and the Shemitah, and the harbingers, and the tetrad, and all this stuff, and it all is nothing. They're done. They just go away, turn it off. And so that's why it's so horrible. And the scriptures do teach that economic collapse must come someday to set the stage for global economic system of the Antichrist, right? I mean, there has to be a complete collapse of the economy to set up the global system of the Antichrist that you're going to have a number to buy or sell. And so it's going to come. And I think it's going to. Every day I wake up and it hasn't happened, I'm surprised. To tell the truth, I'm not waiting for September. Here it is, August. I'm not waiting for September. I'm shocked every day. And Gerald Celente, who's a very well-known, he's not a Christian, but he's a very well-known and respected trends analysis financial guy who's been around for decades doing this. His job is to create a trends magazine for his subscribers. He just went public on the 9th of August, 3-4 days ago, to say it's all the whole house of cards is coming down globally by the end of the year. Now he's investing all of his credibility. I mean, and it's his job to be credible in this stuff. So what's our biblical response to people say, what about Matthew 6:19? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so when people say, what about this financial collapse that's coming in? Actually, my investments, I know they're not going to lose. What do you mean? The whole thing's going to come down. Actually, my investment is in Jesus. And I know I'm not going to lose. I know a friend, he liquidated a bunch of stocks and bonds and commodities and stuff that he had in equities this last week and lost $150,000 over what he had thought he invested. He was told by people, in fact, somebody said, yeah, that's stockbroker for you. They make you broker. He listened to advice and has watched because things are collapsing. There's the things in the commodities market collapsing and everything else. Better to be invested in Jesus, don't you think? And every time you tell somebody about Jesus, you are, you know, that's a little ching, 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 ching. Every time you're available to Jesus and praying for people, every time you're doing anything that is spiritually significant, which is anything, praying, doing, helping, you are investing in a place that will never, ever lose your investment. You'll never go broke. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. So the first one that people are saying, economic collapse, yep, the Bible says it's coming. We just don't know when. Those that are experts in analyzing the financial situation, they're thinking it's imminent. From what I can tell from reading those guys, I agree with them. Many are thinking judgment is coming in the form of ISIS sleeper cell activity. And they'll point out the fact that there's a known ISIS training center just across the border from Texas, down in Mexico. That there's many ISIS manuals that have been found across the border from the peoples going across the open border with Mexico. That the government is complicit in making sure that they get into the country because they want chaos to ensue when things go south so that martial law can be declared. I don't know about all that. I'm not there. I don't know what the truth is and stuff. I would not be surprised if it's happening. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have internal attacks because there are people that hate us for whatever reason, and they're allowed to come in. They're allowed to come into this country, and we could one day wake up to where it's not just hearing a news item about some guy shooting up a naval training center or a naval recruit center or whatever, that it's just like, oh, here and 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 here all day long, and it could completely disrupt our world. And then we go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, which says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that applies to FEMA camps, government, ISIS, your neighbor. You know, we can't live in fear. Because what can they do? They can only send us into eternity to be with Jesus. And that isn't so bad. So many are thinking that it's going to come in the form of war. Many are thinking judgment. Number three is coming in the form of war, which is related to this ISIS thing. A letter, this is a news item from The Telegraph, which is a website out of the UK. This is today. Today, is today the 12th? Yep. This is today's news. Russia and NATO actively preparing for war. And this article is talking about all the saber rattling that is happening, and NATO is doing a bunch of military exercises around Ukraine and in Europe. Russia's doing like-minded exercises. There's another article here that this came on the 4th. This is the 4th of August, 2015. Russia ready to send paratroopers to Syria. And you know what they said they're going to do? Why they're sending them to Syria? Is because Russia, as I mentioned last week, has warned America. You say you're going to go into ISIS, which, by the way, the first flights of American F-16s took off from Turkey's airbase today to go attack ISIS positions in Syria. And Russia said, okay, you say you're doing ISIS. What we think you're doing is trying to topple Assad's regime in your effort to take out our ally and move and control the Middle East. And if you're going to do that, we've got paratroopers ready to go in to defend Assad and the Syrian people. And this is happening today. And the United Kingdom is, and other news agencies are going, wow, the saber rattling. Matthew 24:6. Turn there. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are we hearing of wars and rumors of wars? Yeah, nothing. We haven't seen anything yet. I mean, this is going to be going, but it's increasing. It's just like the Bible says, it's going to be like birth pains. They're going to get closer and closer together and more intense. See that you are not troubled. Are you troubled by these things? No. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. And sorrows there, the real word is birth pangs. That's the meaning of that word. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated for all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. I would imagine that's what's going on in Venezuela, as they fight over the loaf of bread that gets put on the shelf. And many false prophets will arise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. So we hold on to Jesus no matter what they're doing. And it is going to be hard to love in these last days, because lawlessness, which we're beginning to experience in this country, is lawlessness, complete flagrant lawlessness. And when you have lawlessness, you really, in a way, you lose all hope. And your doors go shut and you don't want to talk to anybody. And the love of many grows cold, because everybody's a threat. And the Bible prophesies days that are coming to our world, and it's going to be like that. So next verse we're going to read is Luke 21:25. But many are thinking that judgment is coming in the form of martial law. Jade Helm is an exercise that they've been emphasizing for the last several months. Jade Helm started on July 15th. It ends on September 15th. And some people are thinking this whole exercise is to get the military ready and prepared in this country to deal with internal insurgencies associated maybe with ISIS and other sleeper cells. It's a plan. There's a planned event that's going to occur. People talk about false flags. The government knows, okay, we're going to get these people in position, we're going to have everything trained up, then we're going to make a disaster that we actually orchestrate in some way. And when that happens, oh, our troops are all here ready to deal with this situation. And, oh, by the way, because of the national chaos, because all these malls and things got happened, or the economy collapsed, or there was an EMP attack on the grid, or whatever it is, we're going to have to implement martial law, and that's going to be the judgment that we're all under. And so there's a lot of buzz about martial law coming imminently out there on the web. Again, I don't know. I don't know, and guess what? I don't care, because what am I going to do? I'm not going to go fight it. People have lived under martial law since man lived on the earth, and I'm just going to keep preaching Jesus to as many people as I can in whatever way I can under the circumstances of our government. We have lived in this incredible nation called America for our whole lives, where freedom has been a given, and it is a fluke of history. It is absolutely unprecedented that we have enjoyed what we have enjoyed. And people all over the world have lived under oppression, and we might be joining it. Why? Because of sin. Not because of Shemitah, not because of blood moons, but because of sin that has come into this country. We could lose it all, but they can't take my mouth preaching Jesus until they shut it permanently. In which case, I'm still going to be praising Jesus with my spirit mouth up in heaven until I get, as I sit at the feet of the Lord of my soul. Amen? And so, we've got to just stick on mission, which is to preach. So, and there's many people that think that a comet, an asteroid collision with Earth is coming. There's all kinds of crazy stuff on this, and I don't know. There's people that are saying they know that a comet is coming. NASA knows it's coming. And I don't completely blow it off, and here's why. Because let's say there is a comet out there, an asteroid, that they know about, and it's got our name on it, and it's a big one. Are they going to tell us? No, they're not going to tell us. They would not tell us, because what are they going to do? See, if they knew it was coming, they would know what day it's going to come. The closer it gets, they get it nailed down to the minute it would hit, and the exact location. What are they going to do? Tell the people, oh, everything in central part of the United States is going to be gone, or all of Washington, Oregon is going to be gone. What kind of problems would that create? Everybody and their brother getting out of Washington and Oregon and going someplace and just let them go watch TV, golf, football. Oh, football's back on. So, yeah, you know, revival's come to America. And let them keep, you know, they die. So, it wouldn't surprise me if they know something's coming, but this is what the Bible says in Luke 21:25, and we're getting close to the end here. And Luke 21:25, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth the stress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, tsunamis associated with things hitting the oceans, maybe. Men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So there are comets, asteroids with our name on it out there in space, planned for a time yet future to us. And could it happen? Yes, of course it could happen. Russia experienced it a couple of years ago. They had an asteroid come and hit and, you know, shattered, it did horrible damage. Back in the turn of the last century, early 1906 or 7, there was a comet that didn't hit, but it hit into the atmosphere just enough to lay down thousands of square miles of trees in Siberia, and did major, major damage in the area. Fortunately, not to many people, because there weren't people there. There's craters all over the world that are signs of meteors and comets that have hit in times past. So it could happen. I don't know. And let's say, what would you do if you knew a comet was coming into your neighborhood? You know, let's say next week, okay, the borders are shut down, you can't leave, it's coming in a week, what are you going to do? Exactly. So, whoa, I've only got 1 week to open my mouth and tell people about Jesus. And that's what spiritually minded people would do, which is the whole purpose of this message. And many are thinking judgment is coming in the form of alien invasion. The Pope thinks so. He's going to baptize them as Catholics as soon as they show up. And I'm not kidding. There's that article there, and he said that. And there's very serious talk by very serious people that there are aliens that are already here showing us the technology and all this other stuff and giving us computer chips and all these other, how can you explain all these things? I don't even know if that's true. All I know from Daniel 11 is that the Antichrist, this is what it says. He, verse 37 of Daniel 11, he shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of women nor regard any God. He shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, and a god which his fathers did not know he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and precious things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory. So there's the Antichrist is going to say, he's not going to worship any of the gods of the forefathers, the nations of the world, but there's going to be this god. There's going to be this other guy that's there that's going to advance his power, and he's going to give it glory, and they're going to be able to do something. And the Bible makes it clear to me that he's working with the complete power of Satan as the Antichrist. And I do believe that aliens are demons, and in the last days they're going to materialize and deceive many people. And could we be on the very threshold of that occurring? Yes, because we're on the very threshold of the second coming of Jesus Christ. For his church first, and then visibly returning again. And so when is that all of a sudden the dimension of the aliens gets to somehow beam into our reality? When is that going to happen? I don't know. God does, though. And maybe the Pope has been visited by demons, and so he knows when it's coming, and so that's why he's excited to baptize him as a Catholic. Finally, turn to Daniel 7:27. Many thinking that global enslavement via the UN treaties of global warming, etc. And this is interesting. September 25th to the 27th, the United Nations is going to launch a brand new sustainable development agenda for the entire planet. This is a huge thing happening on September 25th to 27th this year. It's the UN plan to subjugate the world to Agenda 21. Which is the agenda for the 21st century, which is the agenda for helping Mother Earth survive us. Maximum sustainability. And what they've done is studied what humans have to do to not pollute or otherwise damage the planet, create global warming, all this other stuff. And a lot of those studies have shown that there's simply too many people on the planet. And they need to be controlled, manipulated, culled, etc., etc., etc. And the Pope's flying in. He's going to be giving his speech. He's going to be advocating global warming controls, taxation. He's going to be advocating other things. And I'm going to not read it in the interest of time, but read Daniel chapter 7. Verses 23 to 28, it talks about the final world empire. This is Daniel seeing the vision of this horrible final world empire of 10 nations. And see, what's going to happen is the United Nations, or something like it, is someday going to manage getting rid of all the nation states and creating a 10-nation global empire, probably to fix a global problem like global warming and sustainability of the planet, and they're going to force it on the citizens, and the citizens are going to be willing to let it happen because they've all been catching their powdered milk from the government during the time of global economic collapse, and they just want to have their meals again. They want to have their food and their grocery stores filled with food. And if that means becoming a 10-nation world empire and maximum sustainability development goals and stuff, then so be it, because I'll get to eat as long as I'm not one of the people that has to be culled. And that's what Daniel saw, that it was a horrible destroying beast that is destroyed by the second coming of Jesus. So this last world empire that's getting ready to form is going to be destroyed by the coming of Jesus. So let's close with Revelation 11:15 through 19. And I know we went a little late here, but then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen? The kingdoms of this world are about to be pushed aside by the coming of our King Jesus. And his reign will be forever and ever. And the 24 elders sit down. We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who was and is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign. The nations were angry, as they are today against Jesus. The nations are angry, and your wrath has come. War, pestilence, asteroids, comet hits, economic collapse, global government, man. Oh, you want man to rule you instead of God? Fine, have at it. Enjoy your Antichrist. That there's going to be global chaos in all these areas that we discussed, the seven areas that we discussed, plus more, because God has been rejected by the godless planet. And yet, we have come under King Jesus for salvation for everybody that here that believes and trusts in him. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the hope that you've given us. And Lord, in the midst of this confusion of these days and not knowing the plan that you know, God, and just knowing what your word says, that we don't know the day or the hour of your coming, but you tell us to know the season, and it does seem like we're in the fall, Lord, before the winter of the tribulation starts, that is then followed by the spring and eternal summer of your coming. And we just thank you, God, for your promises to even take the church out of this time of horrible trouble that's going to be coming in the future, that we get to be with you forever and ever and ever. And I pray for comfort among your people, Lord, as we trust in you in these troubling days. In Jesus' name, amen.